And now, Skin Deep on CJAD with dermatologist Dr. Ronnie Monk, answering your questions about your skin health and aesthetic procedures.
Good evening. It is 7:06, 28 degrees in downtown Montreal, but much warmer with the humidity. It's your host, Kelly Alexander. Thank you so much for spending time with us on the show. And on the line, because that's how we're doing it these days, is Dr. Ronnie Monk. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How are you, Kel?
I am fantastic. I know one of these days in the hopefully not too distant future, you'll be back with me in the studio. But of course, we are playing it safe, and that's what we want to do. And so you're safely ensconced at home. And I know that you're doing Facebook Live as well. So
people, I'm trying it.
You're trying it out and seeing it how it goes. So people can follow along with you on your Facebook Live at MonkMD, and the website, of course, as well, monkmd.com. And you can reach out to Ronnie at his office if you'd like to book an appointment, a consultation, 514-937-2757. And of course, Dr. Monk is here with us, until 8 o'clock tonight. So if you have questions, we would love to answer them for you. We had such a great show last time. The phones were lit up like Christmas trees. So many people having questions about skincare and cosmetics, lasers, cool sculpting, the list goes on. So those are all things we can talk about. And with the heat that's been going on, Ronnie, I know that you've been, you told me off air that you've been getting lots of of questions from your patients. And just when you're out and about, like people talking about sweating issues because it's been so hot the last little while. So I know that we can talk about that as well. And so first of all, I guess I'll start off by asking you sort of like the COVID-19 update in your clinic. Like, how are things going?
It's going pretty well. I mean, look, we got to make the best of the situation. I think that COVID, unfortunately, these precautions we're taking, they're going to be around for the long haul. So we've taken all those precautions in my office, and, you know, I have the plexi set up, and all my staff were wearing our masks and our gear. And, I mean, it's definitely, we changed our schedule around. We have less patients coming in and out of the office. So it's definitely an adaptation, but I have to say that it's much more, you feel much more, well, I feel much more like I'm in a normal time period. It's so nice to be back in the office, seeing people, doing procedures, doing what I love. So it's great to be back, and I just hope that we can continue that and not have to shut down again.
Do you feel like you're kind of in the zone now, Ronnie? Because, like, it was just interesting. The last week, I ended up going to see, like, my first attempt back at the hair salon, and then also my first attempt back at the acupuncturist's office. And both of those ladies who are amazing people, they told me that it was a bit of a bumpy road getting themselves sorted out, but now they're kind of in their zone, and they're operating, you know, as best they can in their new normal, and it's going okay. So is that how you feel?
Yeah, I think the first, let's say, week, it was a little more difficult, and we were learning kind of the new process and procedures. But now it feels like it's kind of always been like that. And patients always ask me, because they see me in my mask and my glasses, and they say to me, how do you wear that all day? Are you sweating? Are you uncomfortable? And the truth is, I'm so used to it now that wearing a mask 24/7 just feels normal.
Right.
So it's just, I think it's an adaptation. And I was actually telling my wife this for the first time this past weekend. We actually went out and we sat on a terrace, and it was just so nice. You just feel like life is finally, there's a little bit of normalcy coming back. So I do feel better than I did, for sure, than a month ago.
Okay, great. And I'm happy that the clinic is rumbling along as it needs to. Again, if you have questions for Ronnie, he is here until 8 o'clock, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. And we'd love your first name in the text. Again, if you have questions about skincare, lasers, cool sculpting, again, maybe with this heat you have rashes that are coming out that you're wondering what's going on. These are all things that Dr. Monk can help you with. Can we actually start with the sweating situation? Because I know that for even people that don't have perspiration issues necessarily, like, it's hot today, for example. And yeah, and so I can only imagine someone who's suffering from this, it's just got to be like terrible.
Yeah. And sweating is usually, it's usually genetic. It's just something that you're prone to. And it can happen in a lot of different areas. I mean, I have some people that sweat a ton from their armpits, and I'd say that's the most common area to sweat from. But, you know, hands are an issue, and hands make people very self-conscious because obviously, well, not so much now, but we used to shake hands and that sort of thing. So it makes people very self-conscious, but there are great things you can do for sweating on the hands, for example. I have patients that sweat a lot from their feet, and because of that, there's an odor. And then I have people, even their scalps, you could sweat a lot from your scalp, your chest, your back. It could really happen anywhere. And for sure, it's worse in the heat compared to in the winter months. And I think it's important that people know that there's definitely great treatments that can be done that can really help reduce sweating. So if you're suffering from it, I think it's something we can definitely work on.
Ronnie, is this something like, as you were speaking about this, I'm just wondering, does this sort of situation kick in as an adolescent? And like, how does someone know that young if it's a problem?
It often will start young in adolescent, but sometimes, you know, I have people saying I never sweat before and I'm in my 30s and it's just starting now.
Okay.
So it's something, I think if you're prone to it, a lot of the times it does come earlier. And I have a lot of teenagers that are coming consulting with me for sweating. But it can present at any age. But I think what's important is that if you have a new presentation of sweats that you're not used to, you definitely need to have some sort of investigation, because there's a lot of underlying medical conditions that can actually worsen sweating. So I think that that's important to you know, when I see somebody and it's not just the run-of-the-mill sweat, I'll often do a little bit of a workup to make sure they don't, for example, have diabetes or thyroid problems or things that can cause excessive sweating.
Okay. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text if you have questions for Dr. Ronnie Monk here until 8 o'clock. Again, Ronnie is actually kind of simulcasting, we'll say that, at home on his Facebook Live, so you can check him out at MonkMD. The website is monkmd.com. And if you want to reach out to Ronnie at the office for a consultation, 514-937-2757. Ronnie, speaking of consultations, how are the online consultations going? Is that still happening?
It's still happening. I'm doing a lot more in person, I'd say. You know, to my surprise, more people want to come in person. So most of my time, I'm definitely, it's like I said, it's like it's kind of back to normal. And I'm seeing a lot of people in person, which is really nice just to interact and see people. But I am still doing online consults. So if you're not comfortable coming into the office, you have a skin issue, or you just want to talk cosmetics, you want to know what treatments would be best for you or what we can do for you, then we are offering both in person and online.
We just had a text come in to 514-800 from Daphne, and she was wondering, she has a couple of moles on her legs, and it sounds like she is concerned about being out in the sun with that. Is that something to be concerned about?
So everyone has moles.
Yep.
The more moles you have, the higher risk you are at for a skin issue, whether it's cancer or melanoma. And that's because when you have more moles, so it's been shown that if you have 50 or more moles, for example, that you're automatically in a slightly higher risk category.
Oh, wow.
So what that means is if you have a lot of moles, it doesn't mean you're going to get skin cancer. It just means that you are maybe at a higher risk and that you have to be ultra careful, which means your sun protection, a hat, sunglasses, trying to avoid the sun from 10 to 2, you know, just taking the proper precautions and being as careful as possible.
Okay, perfect. Actually, Ronnie, can I cut you off for just a second? Sure. We'll come back to you because I just want to make sure we get to traffic on time. Thank you so much for spending time with us on the program. It's your host, Kelly Alexander, and we are, of course, with Dr. Ronnie Monk. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We'd love your first name in the text if you have questions for Dr. Monk. Ronnie, the phones have lit up like Christmas trees, so we're going to get to them in just a second. But I did want to start off by, because we never got to finish this before we went to traffic, when it comes to sweating, what are some of the treatments that are available? Because I know that's important.
Yeah. So treatments for sweating. So when I see a patient and they're complaining of sweating, let's say from the armpits, the first treatment I ask them is if they've used anything topically, because, you know, there are some very effective antiperspirants out on the market that will help basically clog the sweat glands to prevent the sweat from coming out of the glands. So in our deodorants that we all have, there's anywhere from 3 to 6% aluminum chloride, which is an antiperspirant, but there's actually much stronger stronger concentration of aluminum chloride that's even more effective. So sometimes I'll prescribe 20 or 25% aluminum chloride, and that can definitely be something that helps cut sweating significantly. The problem with these antiperspirants is they're only as effective as long as you use them. And as soon as you stop them, the sweat will recur. And nowadays, there are solutions that will last longer and provide more relief on a longer-term basis. So do you know what one of the treatments are, Kel, for sweating?
Is it Botox?
Yeah.
Boom! See, I listen when you speak.
Good for you, Kel. So Botox is, you know, the reason it works is because it affects the nerve supply to either the muscle, which is why we use it cosmetically for muscle relaxation, or to the sweat glands. And so if you Botox, for example, the armpits, you will significantly cut off the signal to the sweat glands and you will not sweat anymore. And you know what the best part about Botox is for sweating?
Nope.
It lasts about 6 to 12 months.
Oh, wow. That's from one treatment, Ronnie?
One treatment.
That's
so
crazy.
Most of my patients, I'd have to say, in their armpits, will do it once a year. And I find it really, I mean, they will just not sweat from their armpits. So it's pretty amazing how it works. And the best part is if you have private insurance, a lot of them will cover this procedure.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I'm glad you were able to share that with all of us, because, again, I can only imagine, like, I know what it was like for me today, and I can only imagine if someone is suffering from this type of situation and it's this hot, like, it's crazy.
And if you suffer from this situation, I mean, people that really sweat a lot, they ruin their clothes every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's really problematic. And in the hands, it's problematic, too. You're self-conscious about the sweating and shaking and touching things. So it's really life-changing if you're a big sweater.
514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We are heading off to, let's go with Heather. Heather, you have a question for Dr. Monk about, you're a recent non-smoker?
Yes, I am.
Good for you. Go, girl.
Thank you. So I wanted to do fractional laser. I believe it's the CO2. I wanted to know, Dr. Monk, what you thought about these procedures and if you had anything else better to get rid of smoker's lines.
So smoker's lines, it happens in a lot of non-smokers, believe it or not. You know, anybody who's very expressive and kisses or purses their lips a lot can have these vertical lip lines. And the other thing is, as we age and we lose volume and support, we get these smoker lines. So luckily there's great treatments out there that will significantly improve them. I think fractionated lasers like CO2, Fraxel, or any ablative fractionated laser is going to be very helpful by stimulating collagen and tightening the skin. You're really going to improve the appearance of those lines. The other thing that I do a lot for this area is injection, because, you know, as we age, what happens is the volume of the red lip is thinner, so we lose volume in the red lip. And what that does is it elongates the skin part of the lip, right above the lip, from the nose to the lip. And when that happens, the line becomes very prominent. And so this is a problem that I improve every day with injections. But injections alone, if they're very severe, is not enough. And so oftentimes combination, using something like laser to stimulate collagen and injections to restore the volume, is really going to give you the best results possible for that area.
Thank you so much, Heather, for the call. We appreciate it. 514-790-0800, again by phone, and 514-800 by text. Let's head off to Kathy, who's been waiting patiently on the line. Kathy, you have a question for Dr. Monk?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Monk. I have a question about hyperhidrosis. My daughter, she's had it since she was a baby, and I noticed the sweating on the hands and the soles of the feet. So I had her tested, and everything was okay, like her thyroid and everything. But it continues, and it never stops, so she has a big problem with it, especially the hands and the feet and the underarms as well, so like shaking somebody's hand or whatever. And she's tried dry sol and things like that, but nothing's really worked. So I was wondering, what do you suggest?
So I had just talked about this a few minutes ago, but if she's tried these topicals and she's not getting relief with it, then the best treatment that I can think for her would be Botox injections into the hands. And what that would do is it would basically cut off the nerve supply to the sweat glands, reduce the sweating very significantly, and she would probably have very significant relief of sweat for about 6 to 12 months. So I would definitely suggest trying Botox injections in the hands, because that's going to give her the most relief.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for the call. 514-790-0800 by phone, 514-800 by text. We are heading off to Diane, who has a question about loose skin. Go ahead, Diane.
Yes, hi. Dr. Monk, I had this since September last year, loose skin, like little tiny bits of skin coming out of my neck, under my arms, you know.
Yeah. The common things that happen in our 60s, 70s, 50s.
Yes.
So that's something we can definitely improve. There's different ways to do it. Sometimes using technology to build collagen and tighten the skin is really helpful. So in my office, I have a device that's called Ulthera, which is basically an ultrasound energy tightening device that I find very, very effective for loose skin and saggy skin areas. So that's something that we commonly do. Sometimes laser, like CO2 laser or microneedling, something to basically traumatize the skin and stimulate collagen remodeling will help significantly tighten. So there's ways to do it. You know, the other thing I sometimes do is sometimes I'll actually inject filler into the area, at very dilute filler that will actually work as a collagen stimulator, and that can also tighten skin significantly. So I think the best thing is really to see the area. Girls, I'm on the radio. Sorry. This is home radio.
Yeah.
So best thing is to do a consultation, see what the area is, and then we could tailor a proper treatment for what you need.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the call, Diane. Again, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We are just about coming up to the news, but again, if you have questions, we'd love to take them. And again, if you want to reach out to Dr. Monk at his office, 514-937-2757 is the phone line. The website is monkmd.com. That's MUNKMD.com. And you can follow along on social media as well at MonkMD. My name is Kelly Alexander. You're listening to Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk on CJAD 800. Good evening. Thank you so much for spending time with us on CJAD. It's your host, Kelly Alexander, on Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk, and we've got lots to talk about as we get towards 8 o'clock. So if you have questions for Dr. Monk, very simple. You can call us by phone, 514-790-0800, or on the text line, we'd love your first name, 514-800. Ronnie, people still in line for you, so we're heading there right away. Rebecca, you have a question about Botox?
Yes, I do. Hi, thanks a lot for taking my call. So I suffered from Bell's palsy a number of years ago, and so I have coverage for Botox, but I've been told always to go to a neurologist. I'm not happy with the results. So my question is, would I be able to go to you to put the Botox and still be covered?
So you can definitely come to me. I do Botox for people with Bell's palsy all the time. In terms of it being covered, I'm not sure. I don't know how it works with your coverage. The way I've always worked it is I inject my Botox and then give you the paperwork and you deal with your insurance company. So that's something maybe to discuss with your insurance. One thing I'll tell you about Bell's palsy is there's been a lot of advances for Bell's palsy using injectables. And one of the most effective ways you're going to improve a chronic Bell's palsy is actually with fillers as opposed to Botox. And it's very interesting. The more we're learning about injections, the more we're learning that fillers will actually relax muscles and it will last a lot longer than Botox will. We're talking about between 1 and 2 years of relaxing the muscle. So this is a phenomenon that's called myomodulation. And basically it shows that when you inject filler into an area, you are going to get a very similar effect of Botox in terms of muscle relaxation, but for a much longer duration. So for example, if I want to improve crow's feet and I'm injecting filler around the eye area, I'm going to improve those crow's feet much more than just Botox alone with fillers. So for Bell's palsy, I inject a lot of fillers and you can really restore symmetry and function with fillers. It's a fascinating topic. And if you've never tried it or had it done properly, then I definitely suggest you do it because it's life altering.
Thank you, Rebecca, for the call. We appreciate it very much. 514-790-0800 on the telephone line and 514-800 by text. Fran has been waiting on the line. Fran, what's your question for Dr. Monk?
Yes, doctor. I have hair growing on my neck, a lot of hair, and on my face. And I was wondering if it would be good to take it off with this special Neat for the Face cream.
Yeah, the issue with the Neat cream is that it could be a little bit irritating. That's the main issue I see for it. I mean, I don't mind you using it, but it's just a little irritating. And, of course, it's not eliminating the follicles, so that hair is going to regrow. Whereas if you do a treatment like laser hair removal or electrolysis, you're looking at a more long-term reduction of hair. One thing I'll tell you, though, is if you do have a lot of hair, you want to make sure that there's no underlying hormonal imbalance or something to really explain why you may be getting the hairs. Obviously, cultural diversity is important, and people, you know, with darker skin, maybe Middle Eastern, Greek, they could sometimes be more hairy. So I think ethnicity is important. But if you really have a lot of coarse hairs growing in areas that there weren't before, one of the first things I would recommend is maybe checking the hormones with a simple blood test. And then if they're normal, then there's definitely longer term treatments you can do for hair reduction.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that, Fran. 514-790-0800 on the phone and 514-800 by text. Ronnie, I know you wanted to get to eye rejuvenation. So before we get back to some of the texts that have come in, I wanted to get to that because I know it's very important.
Well, this is something that I'm constantly getting consulted about lately, mainly because I think, you know, we're wearing masks, so people aren't as concerned about their jawlines and their chins and their lips, but they're looking constantly at their eye area. So, I mean, I'd say two-thirds of my consults in the past 2 weeks is really focusing on, you know, the eye looking tired or the eye looking sad. And I think it's important that people know that there's unbelievable treatments that are non-invasive that will very much improve how the expression of the eye and how your eye looks. So if you feel, you know, I get this all the time from people, I feel great, I'm healthy, I'm in shape, but I look exhausted. People ask me all the time, are you tired? And I'm not tired, I look tired. And what can you do about that? And there's so many things, non-invasive, safe, that you can really do to improve the eye area. So do we have time to go through some of them, Phil?
Yes, you have 3 minutes.
Okay. I mean, the things I do the most are really done with injections. And, you know, what I explain to patients when I do a consult with them is what makes the eye look tired. So there's a few things. One is there's the position of the eyebrow and the brow sagging and the eyelid sagging. And if that happens, you look exhausted. Two is the form of the eye and the shape of the eye. And unfortunately, what happens as we age is the corner of the eye starts to droop down and gives us a more sad kind of appearance to our eye. And the third thing is the under eye hollow. So if you have kind of an under-eye darkening or eye bag, that's often related to volume loss. And And basically, there's a permanent shadow in the under eye area created by, you know, the way your bones are fused together and created by aging. And so these three factors I can easily correct with fillers. When they're done, you can lift the brow, you can reshape the position of the eye, and you can correct under eye hollowing. And immediately, instantly, it will give you a very fresh appearance to your eye that you didn't have before. So I love doing eye treatments. I incorporate it in all my filler treatments for every one of my patients, even if they don't mention it, because it's super important, and nothing makes a face look fresher than having a fresh-looking eye area. That's how I see it.
Perfect. Now, you have some texts that have come in, and there's a fair amount of them. So I want to get to Patrick, who's been very kind to wait. He says that he gets bad eczema on his fingers in the summer, and now it's starting to affect his fingernails. Is there anything that he can do to help?
There's a lot that he can do. So he needs to moisturize, because eczema is often a result of having very excessive dry skin. Now, this time of year is terrible because we're all washing our hands immensely, and that's stripping the normal kind of protection and barrier of our skin, and that's predisposing all of us to get eczema. So what I'm telling people is really every time you wash, you've got to moisturize your hands. And then if the eczema is really bad, then a lot of the times there are medicated cortisone creams that you can apply to the irritated areas, which drastically reduce the inflammation and make the eczema better. So all those things will probably work well, but the most important thing is making sure you're on top of your moisturizing and doing that very regularly.
Do you need to get, like, the kids on this early in life so this becomes a habit then?
I think it's important to moisturize your skin regularly. And you know what's funny, even people with oily, acne-prone skin on their face, I still think they should moisturize, but they have to choose the right moisturizers, because if they use anything greasy, it's definitely going to worsen their breakouts. If they use something very, very light and fluid, it's going to actually help improve their skin. So moisturizing is important, also because we get more dry as we age, and the skin gets more dehydrated. So if you want to have kind of good skin all the time, you got to take care of it properly and moisturize.
Good evening. Thank you for spending time with us on the program. It's your host, Kelly Alexander, alongside Dr. Ronnie Monk, here until 8 o'clock on CJAD 800, 514-790, 0800 on the phones, and 514-800 on the text line. We are heading off to Cora, who has a question for Dr. Monk. Hi, Cora.
Hi. Dr. Monk, I wanted to ask about discoloration of the skin, and it's my face. I'm a black lady, and the color of my skin is like a medium brown, but on my cheeks I got these dark brown spots. And I was wondering, is there anything I could buy to help lighten those discoloration?
There's a lot of things that you can do, Cora. I think what's important, though, is to determine why it is that you have pigmentation in your skin. You know, is it just sun damage? Is it age-related spots? Maybe it's melasma, which basically is a condition where the skin forms a lot of pigmentation and it usually progresses over time. So there's a lot of reasons people can develop pigmentation in their skin, and it really depends on what's going on that will dictate what type of treatments will be effective. What I can tell you is there's definitely things you can do to treat, okay? So if it's, for example, sun damage or melasma, we'll often do a combination of lasers, maybe a little bit of peeling of the skin, and then also get people on medical-grade programs to lighten those brown spots. And that's very different than if it's, for example, age-related spots, where I actually use a laser and take them off the skin myself. So I think what I would suggest, Cora, is make a consultation. You come in, we assess you properly, we really determine what's going on with your skin, and then we'll be able to choose the best treatment to give you the best results possible.
Cora, thank you so much for the call. 514-790-0800 on the phones, or 514-800 on the text line. I wanted to bring this to you, Ronnie, because we had a text from Marla and said that before the pandemic sort of obviously upset everyone's apple carts, she wanted to get facial fillers and lip injections. She knows now that if she goes, that obviously you're wearing a mask, but she wouldn't be able to. Is that dangerous?
Every patient, because, I mean, I'm doing a lot of full face treatments in people now, and so I often get them to remove their mask, and everybody's so concerned about them removing their mask, understandably, right?
Mm-hmm.
But look, I'm fully protected. I'm wearing a mask, goggles. Sometimes I'm even wearing a visor on top of that. My staff is the same. So we are fully, fully taking all precautions. And what I do with people is I get them to keep wearing their mask throughout treatment unless I'm in the area. So obviously, if I'm injecting fillers in the chin or the jawline or the lower face, lips, they can't wear their mask, and that's okay. And anyways, we're taking all the precautions necessary. And then when I'm done that treatment, they put their mask back on. So we limit the amount of time that the mask is off.
Okay.
I think that's the way to do it. And I think, look, I can't say that there's zero risk to doing it, because nothing is zero risk. But I could say that it's very low risk. And as long as we take the precautions, I think, I hope that we keep ourselves and everybody else around us safe.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that, Ronnie. And thank you so much for that text, Marla, to 514-800. We are heading off to Anne on the phone lines, who has a question about a scab. Go ahead, Anne.
Yes, I was just wondering, Dr. Monk, if ever, you know, someone has a bad injury, let's say on the shin of their leg, and then the scab takes forever to heal, and when it finally heals, you know, we're always conscious of the area. How do you bathe during the healing process and after to avoid irritating the area?
You know, the legs take the longest to heal on the whole body. So I hate lesions on the legs or removing stuff off the legs, because it takes forever. And that's very different than anywhere else on the body. You know, if I remove something off the arm, it heals great. The leg, not so much, because the legs just are very poor healers. When something's healing, what I'll usually tell people is they can bathe and they can wash it with just soap and water. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And then after, what I suggest to an open wound or scab is keep it moist. So put some Vaseline on it, or put some polysporin ointment on it. And if it's moist, it's going to heal quicker and better with less of a scar. So that's what you should always do if you have an open wound that's not healing, is moisturize it with Vaseline, cover it with a Band-Aid, change it once or twice a day, add the Vaseline before the Band-Aid, and you'll see that if you keep it moist like that, you will heal it much quicker.
Thank you so much for the call. And 514-790-0800 by phone, and 514-800 by text. Ronnie, we have a text that's come in to 514-800 from Janet. And she was wondering, because it's been so, like, very hot over the last couple of days, she's wondering how often should sunblock be applied?
I generally say it should be applied every 2 to 3 hours. I really do think that mineral sunscreens with zinc oxide, for example, will last longer on the skin and provide better protection than chemical sunscreens. So I generally really recommend mineral sunscreens for everybody. But even the minerals, they won't last forever. You've got to reapply every 2 to 3 hours. And if you're in the pool or if you're sweating, you have to apply more frequently than that, because it's just not going to last as long.
How does it even manage to stay on in the pool? Like, is it just because it's kind of absorbed into your skin, so it's working on some sort of level?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because, like, the water would wipe it right off if it was just barrier, right?
Right, okay.
So I do think, yeah, it penetrates and it kind of provides a deeper layer of protection, but it's definitely not if you go swimming and you come out and you don't reapply, you're not going to be protected well, which is why so many people say, oh, I put my sunscreen on, but I'm burned to a crisp. Like, why did it happen? Because you didn't reapply after you swam, and it's all off.
We're just about out of time. We have about a minute and a half, but I wanted to end on this because I've seen it over the last, I guess, couple of weeks now. Every time I'm outside doing something, I see somebody that's outside mowing the lawn, let's say, or something like that. And I just have seen, Ronnie, over the last couple of weeks, so many people, as you just said, burnt to a crisp. Why are people still doing that? Do they, like, what do they need to know to not expose themselves to looking like a tomato?
I had a gentleman in my office today, and it was a young guy. He was in his, I think, late 30s, and he had his first skin cancer on his skin. And when I was questioning him and I asked him, you know, what's your exposure like in the past? Have you had sunburns? And he said, yeah, I had terrible sunburns when I was young, but I'm really careful now. And for the past 5 years, haven't had anything. And what I explained to him is that every sunburn you get, doesn't matter the age, every sunburn you get essentially doubles your risk of a cancer, doubles. And so think about how many sunburns you've taken over your lifetime. You are exponentially increasing that risk of one day having something significant on your skin. That's the cancer aspect.
Yeah.
If you care at all about how you're going to age and skin health and looking your best and cosmetics, you are going to be even more vigilant because the UV will destroy you cosmetically. And I can't tell you how many people I see in their 50s, 60s that say to me, I wish I knew how bad the sun was in my 30s because I used to have amazing skin and now my skin's awful. And they're going to pay a lot of money to reverse those changes. So yeah. Why not be proactive and start protecting your skin from a young age? We all have beautiful skin when we're young. If you take good care of it when you're young, you're going to age the best you can. So I think from a cosmetic standpoint, it makes sense to really avoid the sun. And then from a cancer perspective, I mean, to me, the sun is the same as smoking.
Okay.
It's an immunosuppressant. It lowers your immune system. It causes cancer. It's negatively impacting the DNA of your skin.
Ronnie, I need to jump in there. Sorry, we're just about out of time. So thank you so much. I know you're back next month. I can't wait. So be safe and we'll talk soon.
Okay, Cal. It's been fun. Take care.
That is Dr. Ronnie Monk. Again, you can reach out to him at his office, 514-937-2757. The website is monkmd.com. My thanks to Chris Aikens for pushing all the right buttons. My name is Kelly Alexander. Coming up after the news on CJD, you'll be getting to hang out with John Pohl on the night side. Have a great night.